remember the days and we know what it's like. And we just want you to keep on doing what you're doing. Maybe what you're doing needs a step up. Maybe you're just like, I don't know what to do from here. And I've told you that I have been in those shoes. I have one child who has a learning disability. I don't mean this bad, but the Bible doesn't come with an exact manual. Like, there's no words that I can find about what to do if your child has a learning disability. But what I do know is that the Bible is true. And every word is true. And I had a friend whose child was autistic. And that's, of course, my issues with a learning disability were, they were not easy, but they were not that complicated. But she used to say to me, I don't know what to do. But I keep going back to the fact the Bible says to do this, and it doesn't say unless your child has a learning disability, whatever. So I felt very unequipped to parent my child with a learning disability. And it also came with a very strong will. I don't know if that had anything to do with learning disability. That just might have been part of who she was, is. But I just kept on keeping on. And there were mamas who encouraged me to keep on. Mamas who had been there. When it was hard, and I've told you before, that is the only time I have ever questioned God, was I'm doing the things. I'm doing what you say to do, and it does not appear to me that it's working. But we also know that the Bible says that God's word will not return void. So if you are pouring into them God's word, you're getting them to church where they're hearing and learning. And let me say this too. It helps so much when your kids hear it from somebody else besides you. Okay? Does that mean you quit saying it? Absolutely not. Church is not a substitution for parenting. But when you have said it and said it and said it and said it and they are not listening to you, and then they go to camp, or they come to Sunday school or youth group or junior church, and some woman says it or man says it one time, and then they're like, oh, okay. And you know what? We can be tempted to be frustrated because, but who cares? You plant the seeds. It doesn't matter who reaps the harvest. You know, it's all part of God's plan. You, though, are the most important part of this plan. You can't rely on, if they go to Christian school, you can't rely on the Christian school. You can't rely on junior church teachers. You can't rely on the preacher. You can't rely on the youth pastor. You're the most important part. All those other things, though, do help support what you're already doing, okay? So I wrote in these notes that being your child's mama is the most important job you will ever, ever have. I could care less if I hope my kids don't think that their heroes are movie stars or, you know, celebrities or whatever. Because I would rather their heroes be their Sunday school teacher or their junior church teacher or a missionary that came and they heard the presentation in church. Let that be their heroes. However, I will just throw this out there. That's not going to be their heroes if they're not here to sit under those people. So I just strongly encourage you, do everything you can. I remember, as I've been studying for this and getting these ready, I remember the days where people like me said all this stuff, you know. you're going to blink and it's going to be over and you'll wish you could go back to when they were two, and I could not fathom that. I was exhausted. I wanted to just like go to the bathroom for 2.5 minutes without somebody in there with me or knocking on the door or sliding things under the door. I just was in survival mode and I could not imagine what they were talking about. And now I have one that's married and I see her, what, 4 times a year? And I have another one that's very serious with the guy. And I couldn't be happier for them. But you know what? I'm sad for me. Sometimes I see you mamas with your little ones and I think, oh, could we just go back, you know? Where they all just were in my house at bedtime and I knew they were safe. And where they weren't old enough to have smart mouths, you know? Thankfully, they're, you know, they're not smart mouths now that they're older. But we go, you go through all those stages. I would give anything if I could just rewind. There are so many things, and he's not going to bother us a bit. There are so many things that I would do differently if I could. But I can't. It's too late for me now. The times that I didn't spend with them, when I could have, but I was just tired, or I was lazy, or, you know, the times that I ignored behaviors that really needed to be dealt with and punished, but I was tired and I just pretended I didn't see it or hear it. I wish I could go back and do it all over again, but I can't. But what I can do is say all those things to y'all that those ladies said to me and just beg you not to think, oh, whatever, lady, they're only three. It goes so fast. You blink and you don't know what in the world happened and where the time went. So I hope that you know that we're in your corner. All these ladies at church, they're cheerleading you. They know it's hard because they were in your shoes. Even those 80-year-old ladies, they're 80, but they remember being in your shoes. And so we are cheering for you, we're praying for you, and we want to do whatever we can to help you. Don't view it as like, oh no, here comes Mrs. Boyer. I bet you money she's watching how I'm handling this right here with my kid that's doing whatever. We're not looking at it that way. We're not watching for you to mess up. We want to help you. So that's why we're having this class. I hope that someday soon we can actually have a real parenting class for everybody, husbands, dads. But that way my husband can teach it. Because that way, I mean, this was the only solution we could come up with right now because he has to teach up there. And I'm not teaching men, so sorry. So this is better than nothing. I know it doesn't happen every week because I can't do it every week. I just don't have the time to prepare for this, plus our monthly Bible studies. But whenever we can have it, I just hope that something that you take, and I've told you before, I'm not teaching this because I have done a perfect job at parenting. I haven't. I've apologized to my kids more than I care to have to admit. Praise the Lord, the one that has the learning disability is the one that God apologized to the most. And 75% of the time she'd say, what are you talking about? She didn't remember, thank you, Jesus, for the learning disability. Because she had already forgotten whatever it was when I lost my temper. I beg you, do not be afraid to apologize to your kids. If you blow it, it will mean so much more to them. If you go to them and say, I blew it. We have apologized to our kids so many times. We've apologized not for, sometimes it might have been for what we said. Most of the time, what we said was okay. But we were beyond frustrated, and it was how we said it that wasn't okay. And so we have apologized lots and lots of times. But what that will say to our kids is that mommy and daddy are human. They make mistakes just like I do. And they're not afraid to tell me they're sorry. If you blow it and you yell at your kids or whatever it is, you punish them in anger and you don't go back and apologize, basically that's telling them that it's okay. I'm fussing at you for screaming at your brother or sister or whatever. But it's okay for mommy and daddy to scream. That's sending two messages to them. And you know as well as I do, a lot of kids who do not stay in church, they will say it's because they see hypocrisy. Somebody said this and they did another thing. Now, there's two sides to that. You can't always hold somebody to that when you may not know the full story or whatever. And also you gotta remember, we're following God. Don't follow people. If you follow people, you will find yourself out of church because people are going to fail you. Your pastor will fail you. Your pastor's wife will fail you. I probably already have over and over and over. We will fail you, and that's why you don't put your hope in people because we're humans and we will fail you. So So put your trust in the Lord. Apologize when you need to apologize and ask God every single day. All right, Lord, it's a new day. Help me. When you don't know what else to do, God does. He gave you these children. And when you feel inadequate and you think, Lord, I don't even know what I'm doing, He knew that you could handle whatever He put in your mouth. Some of you may have all strong wills. And I feel like sometimes the Lord gives you one just to say, thank you, you've suffered enough. Like, you know, I can't say much because I don't want to tell them which kids are which. But sometimes, you know, He, after a tough one, He might give you an easy one. Just to say, it's okay, I'm going to give you a little break. And then sometimes you might get another hard one, okay? Whatever you think you've learned that worked for one kid won't work for the next one. I'm just telling you. When we had one of our, obviously it's got to be Lauren, she's the oldest. I used to look at people and turn my nose up at them. I'm not proud to say this, but I would think to myself, if you would discipline that kid, you wouldn't have issues. And then at some point, I'm not going to say when, the Lord said, honey, let me just humble you about 1,000 notches. And He did. So, I hope you know we're in your corner. So here's what we're going to talk about this morning. I probably don't have as much time, but that's okay. I wanted to share my heart with you this morning. So here is just 6 principles that this author gives. And I don't know where any air is, but we're going to open the door at least. Maybe that helps. Okay, 6 principles just to help you raise your kids. Okay, these are not like rocket science, but it's 6 things that if you'll do these 6 things, it will help you, okay? The first one is very obvious, but love your children. We all love our children in words, okay? There's not one of you in here that would say, I don't really love my kids, you know? We all love our children in our heads, we do. But sometimes we don't show them that. When they're in an age, and that age can range greatly from the terrible twos, as people like to say. My kids were worse at 3. 2s was not it for them. Mine were worse at 3, all 3 of them. Or whether they're teenagers and you just want to pull your hair out, or whether they're young adults. Your parenting does not stop just because they turn 18. They think that they know everything, but they don't. So no matter what stage it is, love your children. Show them. Even if you have done nothing but correct, 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 punish, 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 find some ways to love them, to show them that you love them. Maybe you had a really hard day with them yesterday. Today, before they have a chance to be bad, write them a note. Buy them their favorite, whatever, candy bar or lollipop. Give it to them first thing in the morning. And write in the note, and maybe they can't even read. You can read it to them. Mommy loves you. I know yesterday was a hard day, but we're going to ask God to help us to have a better day today. Do it before they have a chance. So show them that you love them. We would give our lives for our kids, but sometimes they don't know that, especially during the hard times of life. Okay. Love requires sacrificially investing the time. And this is what I feel like I did not do as good of a job when my kids were little as I could have. Sacrificially investing the time, discipline, and attention that children require. It means parent will accept and love each child's unique personality. Anybody that has more than one kid will say, they all have different personalities. Some are a little bit easier to love because maybe they're just naturally compliant. So it is easier to love some of your children more. You still love them all, but accept their unique personalities. I'm not talking about behavior issues, okay? But personalities, who gave them those? God did. So accept them as this is from God. It needs to be trained a little bit and polished and pointed in the right direction, but God gave them this personality. Also, we are supposed to love their talents, their physical characteristics, their capabilities, and their limitations as God made them. my child with a learning disability, I had to go to my, remind myself over and over, God made her this way. He didn't make a mistake. It's not a mistake that God made, and now I have to figure out how to fix it. There's no fixing it. There are ways that I can help her cope with it. But God didn't make a mistake, and he also didn't make a mistake when he gave her to us. So we just had to ask the Lord to help us know how to help her to function, you know, with it. Philippians 2:3-5. Sorry, you know I don't ever mark my Bible. It takes me longer somehow to figure out which one is coming next. So I just don't mark it. So Philippians 2:3-5 says this. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Now, do you not always think of that in terms of adults? I do. Like, you know, we're supposed to lift each other up. But what about our kids? Let each esteem other better than themselves. So we need to put others before us, okay? Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. And I've said this before. You'll have so much time for me time down the road, and you'll wish you didn't. I could go shop all by myself right now if I wanted to. Emily's old enough I can leave her at home. How fun is that? It's not. When she was gone to my mother-in-law's for like 4 days, I'm just like, ugh. I love my husband, but I miss her, you know. And as they start to leave and you go from a house full of three kids down to two kids, then there's one kid. It's just weird, you know. So you'll have time for me time later. Pour yourself into your kids while you can. Also, let me just say this. I'm not trying to be morbid, but we don't know how long God will keep us here on this earth. There are people who, my sister and them at their church, they just had a funeral a month or so ago for a girl. I think she was 36. Just got this weird kind of cancer, and it killed her, and she left behind two little kids. You know, we don't know the future. So pour into them while you can. I pray that if something were to happen to me, that I've done enough for my kids to have great memories of what, not just, oh, my mama was funny, my mama was pretty, which obviously we want our kids to think we're pretty, but my mama always wore cute clothes. I want them to know that their mama cared about their soul, first of all, and that she pointed them to heaven. So just think about my trying to wear it, but I don't want to be morbid. But then the next verse says, look not every man on his own things, but every man on the things of others. That does mean your husband, your kids, and it does mean other adults, but it really does also mean our family. We just kind of forget that sometimes. Number two, discipline your children. Nobody likes to do this. I didn't like doing it at all. It's so easy to turn a blind eye. I'm gonna pretend I didn't see that, because if I pretend I didn't see it, then I don't have to acknowledge it and deal with it. But you have to. If you have multiple kids that are small at the same time, like Heather, she's got four. Whew, right there. How, what's the age span between your youngest four?
They're 16 months apart.
They're each 16 months apart. Okay, that's a lot. So you think about that and you're like, oh my word. You might have to discipline one, and then somebody else is doing something. Then you got to take care of that one and you go back. But no matter how many kids you have to discipline them. And I always joke, because my kids are all 4 years apart. We did not plan it that way, but God did. The first two are 4 years apart. Then I had a miscarriage after it took forever to get pregnant with that one. Had a miscarriage, and then had Emily. So Jenna and Emily are actually 4.5 years apart. But I just always laugh and say, God apparently did not, he knew I could not handle them any closer. So he spread them out. But we have to discipline our children. Parents must establish reasonable limitations and consistently enforce them. And this is important, without going to extremes on harsh oppression or indulgent permissiveness. There are two extremes. You can be so strict that your kid has no fun. That is not what God wants. He wants them to enjoy being kids. But you can also be so permissive that you don't correct them for anything, and the world revolves around them. If they don't like a certain restaurant, well, then we can't go there. if they don't like this meal, then I guess I can't make that meal. I'll have to wait till they're 18, you know? That's being way too permissive, where they get their own way all the time, and the world revolves around them. Children, I've said this before, are supposed to be a welcome part of your family, but your family is not supposed to be centered around them. You had your husband first. You were married to him first. And then you had children. So don't put the kids first, okay? The purpose of discipline, according to the Bible, is to instill a sense of personal responsibility for the consequences of actions, to help a child understand that he's accountable to God. He is going to give an account to God. He has to be responsible for his sin, not you. And then lead a child to respect authority. That is huge. If they don't respect you, they are not going to respect anybody else. Their teachers at school, their junior church teachers, their Sunday school teachers, other adults that they come in contact with in public. If they won't respect you, you can forget it. And here's the truth. If they don't respect your rules, what are they going to do about the things that God has commanded in the Bible? They're not going to respect God's word either, because they're used to getting what they want and not listening to what anybody else has to say. Proverbs, let's look at, I've got multiple verses, but let's turn to Proverbs 6, because I know I don't have time to look them all up. Proverbs 6, verses 20 to 22. My son, keep thy father's commandment and forsake not the law of thy mother. Okay, this is God speaking. So they are supposed to obey what their parents say. And forsake not the law of thy mother. Bind them continually about upon thine heart and tie them about thy neck. We don't make our kids go around all day with, you know, papers tied to their neck with all the rules on it, okay? But when thou goest, it shall lead thee. When thou sleepest, it shall keep thee. And when thou awakest, it shall talk with thee. The point is, your kids should know what God's word says for them to do and not to do so well that it's almost as if they're walking around with a sign that says it. They should just know it. Let me ask you this. Do you make your kids brush their teeth every day? Does that ever slide? I mean, okay, there could be a time they fall asleep on the way home, and okay. Do you make your kids bathe? Why? Because you know that if you don't make them brush their teeth will rot out, and if they don't bathe, their hair will look greasy, and they'll smell. Okay, you make those things happen, but do we make them obey? It's more important than showering and brushing their teeth. Those things are really important. Isn't it funny, though? The things that we view, we make them eat healthy. No, they are not having that. They've already had one cookie today. That's it. We make them eat healthy. We make them be clean. We make them wear clean clothes. We make them brush their teeth, wash your face, wash your ears. But we don't make them behave sometimes. It's not just so that we look good, you know, we feel good about, oh, look at my children, look how they're behaving. That's not the point of it. But the point is so that they can bring honor and glory to God, and so that they can be used of God. Can God use a child that's totally rebellious and wants nothing to do with him? If he works and changes their heart, if they'll change their heart. But God wants to use them, and it's our job to get them to the point where they are God-fearing adults. Okay, so we have to discipline them now. Number three, motivate, build up, and encourage your children. A parent's encouragement ought to make them want to do right. When I was teaching, I taught elementary, first and second grade mostly. All I had to do, it was crazy. We were walking to the water fountain and the line looked like like a jigsaw puzzle. All I had to say was, oh, look at Susie. She is walking so nicely. Her hands are to herself. You would not believe what that would do. The whole line would, you know, or I would do something motivational. You know, I would sometimes have a stuffed animal. And if they were working quietly, they knew it was there. And then I would just go sit it on somebody's desk wouldn't even say a word sometimes. they straightened up quick. Seems so petty. Who cares if you get to sit up? But to a little kid, that's a big deal. So encouragement, and like I said, if you have one of those kids that is strong-willed and it is hard to find something to praise them about, do it before they have a chance to misbehave in the mornings, okay? Try as soon as you can. I don't care how little it is. If they did something that you told them, it might be the only thing they did that you told them, praise them, because praise goes a long way. If we are constantly just harping on them, they're just going to be like, I can't please my parents. I give up. And they're not going to want to do what's right. So try to encourage them, motivate them, build them up, and give them confidence. And God can use that so much. I remember with said child that was strong-willed and had a learning disability, sitting in church, I think I told y'all this before, our pastor was preaching on family and raising kids. I could not tell you to this day one word out of his mouth because I was stuck on the back row. I thought I would never sit with my husband in church again because she was so bad. And so I could not. We sat up on the second row with the teenagers. I couldn't sit up there with her. So we probably spent a whole year. This was after she got out of the nursery. We spent like a year back at the back of the church. And that service, I was so discouraged because everything he said, she did all the things that he said, you know. Like, she didn't obey, and she threw fits, and she was one of those that if I said don't touch the socket, she would look at me and just go right to it and touch the socket. Oh, sorry, y'all can go. So, will you close it, Katie? Because they'll probably start dismissing. But she would look at me and do whatever it was I said not to do. So, it is harder to find the opportunity to encourage them when it seems like. But if I just hounded her every minute of the day and never praised, that's just gonna defeat them. That's gonna make them say, who cares? I'm just gonna be bad because my parents expect it of me anyway. So, all right, so we gotta hurry. So number four is diligently train your children. Did you know there's a difference between teaching and training? Training is more like, think about military. They don't just sit in a classroom and have someone lecture them, do they? No. They go out in the field and do the things that they've learned about. I know of a mom, and she's in heaven now. The Lord took her, left five kids behind. I think her oldest was 14, the youngest was 7. But she got cancer. The Lord took her to heaven. But you know what? I have a CD. Someday I would love to get you all one. But of her doing like a workshop at a ladies' retreat. And she was incredible. And she trained her children. She trained her babies. She says it. Well, she said it in the workshop. I think it's on the CD too. She would, when they were just toddlers, she would put a quilt on the floor and train them to stay on the quilt. The reason was, think about this though. When you go to somebody's house, and your toddler who's, or your baby who's crawling everywhere, is that not a nightmare? And they're touching everything that they shouldn't touch. I was like, I heard all this after mine were beyond that stage. But then she said she would put the remote control because she didn't want them to be allowed to play with the remote. She would put the remote on the floor and she would say, no, no. And train them not to touch it no matter where it was laying. Okay. Does that take time and effort? Yes. But does it make your life easier in the long run? Yes. So instead of just surviving, it takes a little work in the beginning. But I will say this, I did find this to be true from experience. If you will spend hard-earned time, I know you could be doing other stuff, but if you will work hard at home, you will be surprised how well they will behave in public. You might have some serious battles at home. My kids were always better in public than they were at home. And I think it's because at home we just got down to the nitty-gritty and we put in the time and we trained and we disciplined. And it sure did make life easier when we went out in public. So just throwing that out there. Number five is provide a living example to each of your kids. Well, that's the hard one. You know, I know there are so many things that we tried to instill in our kids, and then I found myself, I don't even do this. You know, the Lord would say, excuse me, you're telling them they should do whatever. You don't do that either. So live by example. One thing too that I wish I had done differently, and this is something that you can all change right now, I didn't always read my Bible in front of my kids. Because sometimes your only time to do it is before they wake up. But they need to see that Mama and Daddy are reading their Bible. And since we've lived here, it dawned on me one day that I typically did my devotions either before Emily got up, or once she got started with school, I'd go to the living room and do them. She didn't see me do them. Now, I'm not doing it for show, but we did not give our kids a choice. Once they were old enough, like maybe second, third grade, there are little devotional books for kids that age. And so we didn't give them a choice. We have them do their devotions every morning. It's little, it's short, but it's teaching them to start reading God's Word. So it just dawned on me, you know, recently that I want to make sure she does see me doing it. So then I started doing it to where I might start, but I was still finishing when she came down to start school. Just so she knows, Mommy is not, Mommy, she doesn't call me Mommy. Sometimes I say Daddy and she's like, Mom. See, I call my dad Daddy, and I will until the day I die, or, you know. But they say Mom and Dad, which is fine. But I want her to see that Mom is not just saying, I don't ask her every single day, but every few days I'll say, did you do your devotions? Just because I want to be sure she's doing it. I know what she's doing as well, because anybody can say, yeah, I did. So, but I want her to know that I'm not just trying to make this standard for her that I'm not willing to do. So I make sure that she can see me doing it. I wish I had time to look up these verses, but we don't. Number 5, that was providing the example. And then the last one, have the utmost concern for the eternal soul of your child. And I know that we all would say that. Oh my word, I absolutely, of course I want my child to get saved. But there's more to that than just hoping they get saved. There's more to it than just bringing them to Sunday school. It involves a lot of hearing the Bible. Repetition is what sinks into our head. If you hear something one time, you don't usually remember it. I don't anyway. But something that I hear over and over and over seems to stick in your head. So, I've already said, it's good to hear it from you, but they need to hear it from other people as well. Sarah told me that Gabby came home from VBS one night this week and told Sarah that she learned how you could go to heaven. Now, she's not quite there yet, but you know what? She heard that at Bible school. Now, that doesn't mean Sarah and them haven't been saying it at home. But sometimes hearing it from a different voice clicks. And if we truly love our kids, we don't care who is the one that makes it click, as long as it clicks to where they understand what salvation is. The more opportunities you give them, the better chance that they're gonna not only accept Christ, but live for Christ. And I know I say some of these things over and over, but it's repetition. But our former pastor used to say, well, I didn't finish telling you what he said at that one service where I was so discouraged because I about said the name of the child that was so bad. But she was so bad, and I didn't hear anything he said because I was like wrangling in the octopus back there. And at the end, he probably saw, oh, well, I know he saw all that. And he said this at the very end of his message, you parents that have strong-willed kids, do not let that discourage you. Channel that strong will for God, towards God, and when they're older, they'll be the most amazing leaders for God. Instead of being spoiled brats or whatever, channel it in the right direction. You want to talk about, I didn't hear a thing you said, but I got that. And it was just like the Lord said, it's going to be okay. Keep doing what you're doing. And guess what? After a very long time of being consistent and keeping on and keeping on, we started to see change. And now, sometimes I tell people who it was, they're just like, what? Nah. I could tell you stories that you just wouldn't believe. It was bad. But God did a work. But it took a lot of blood, sweat, and tears. So keep on keeping on. Give them, our pastor used to say this too. You cannot force your kid to do right. When they grow up, now, it could be on you if you didn't train them, if you didn't have them in church. Well, then that is partly on you, maybe why they went astray. But he said, you can't force them to do right when they get to a certain age. You can force your little ones to do right, you know. But he said, you can, what you can do is provide every possible opportunity for them to grow. And God can sure work in that situation. So, sorry I had to rush there, but I just want to encourage you. Don't ever think that this is coming across as she's just beating us down. We walk out feeling like we've been in battle. I don't want it to feel that way. I want you to walk out of here saying, I can do this. It's hard, 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 but I can do this, okay? So let's pray, and then you've got to get your goodie bags and your snack for the way home or whatever. Just don't eat it in sanctuary. Don't eat it during church. All right, let's pray. Lord, I thank you so much for these ladies. I thank you for the blessing that they are to our church. Lord, the truth is, they are raising the next generation of this church. Unless the Lord moves them somewhere else, these children that they represent are the next generation of this church. And if we think about it that way, what does that say about our job? It is so important, because someday these boys could be, they could be deacons. They could be Sunday school teachers. They could be the pastor of this church one day. The girls could be married to some of those deacons and pastors' wives. But we are raising the next generation, and I pray, Lord, that you'll help us to not get lazy, not get weary, to come to you, run to you when it gets hard, and to know that your word has all the answers, no matter what the situation is, no matter how hard or frustrating, or if it feels like we're swimming upstream, your word has every bit of the instruction and the godly wisdom that we need. So I pray that you'll help us to be faithful to do that. I also thank you for the many ladies in this church who gave money or brought gifts for these ladies to encourage them. And I hope they'll know that they are so very loved by the ladies in this church. And so we thank you for your many blessings. Bless our service this morning. Pray that if there's anybody that comes who's unsaved, that you would show them their need for salvation as well. In Jesus' name, amen.